I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, November 29th, 2020, and this is episode 96 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. So this week's best thing is we got a new dog. So about 2 months ago, we lost our oldest dog, Sable. She was elderly, and I took it pretty hard, and I wasn't ready. I didn't think I'd be ready for a long time to get a new dog, but our younger dog, Sherman, also took it very hard, and he was very depressed. He wasn't getting out of bed. He wasn't eating sometimes. He just wasn't happy. He wasn't wagging his tail. He wasn't playing with any of his toys or doing the things he normally liked to do. And, you know, for five, I thought he would be, you know, I figured he would feel it. I know that dogs are emotional creatures too. And I figured a couple of weeks maybe, but like 5-6 weeks. And it was just like, wow. And my husband had, you know, been looking at all the websites, the local shelters and rescue organizations for dogs. And, you know, so I was like, okay, I think Sherman needs something. So we had been taking him to doggy daycare about once a week just to get him out of the house and try to get him doing things. And they take pictures and he still looked sad at the doggy daycare. Like they swore to us that he has friends there and he plays. But anyway, long story short, found a dog at a local rescue and we went to meet her. And she's very friendly and young. She's about a year old, so she's still very puppyish. And when we brought Sherman to meet her, like they hit it off. Like crazily, like I've literally never seen him so happy. I've never seen him smile so much. So that kind of was like, all right, I think I can do this. I mean, bringing a new dog home is always a huge adjustment, especially a puppy. I mean, she's a year, but she's very puppyish. And her name is Shelby. We finally named her. It took like 3 days. Because normally it doesn't take that long. Normally my husband and I we'll just spit out names and then we'll find one we agree on that fits the animal. And we had to really get to know her more and get to know her personality. And then we had our list of names. They're always S names with a Y in them. And so, yeah, Shelby. And now we're in the process of, you know, slowly introducing her to the house and her new life and the animals and keeping them separated for the first 2 weeks. So it's difficult. And so you might hear some barks because there's not a time during the day when there's not barks right now. Someone's in the crate and someone doesn't want to be in the crate. And yeah, so, but yes, we have a new furry dependent in the house. And once again, the inn is full. 2 dogs, 2 cats. That's my max. Other news. I finally got the print copies of the Under a Winter Sky anthology. They had taken a long time and they had said they weren't coming till like December 2nd through December 4th on the website. We ordered them before the book officially launched. But for whatever reason, it was taking longer than I would have expected. So anyone who has pre-ordered a print copy from me, a signed copy, I'll be sending those out on Monday, the day this podcast goes out. And it's thick. I mean, there's good-sized stories in here. It came out really pretty. It's just got some heft to it. You know, it's a weighty anthology. So yeah, super excited about that. I hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving. Everyone who was celebrating in the U.S. We, of course, this year was very much more low key, but, I did a number of family Zooms on Thanksgiving Day. And gratefully that day, they took the limit off of the free accounts. So normally with free Zoom accounts, I think you have a 40 minute limit and I think it was unlimited that day. So I was Zooming with my cousins here and my cousins there and all over the place. So that was nice to catch up with people, even though we couldn't be with everyone. I mean, a family Zoom, the first one was kind of hilarious because it's all the people in the area who would normally be at two, you know, we rotate houses. So who I would normally see in person and, you know, just kind of seeing them either on their couch or in their kitchen while they were preparing dinner. Cause the idea was to do a family grace, to say grace, like theoretically, as we were all sitting down to eat. So then we did this group family grace and it was really nice, but it was also filled with like technology foibles of various family members. But like that actually made it more endearing. So I was grateful for that. And, you know, even though this year has been very crazy, I'm grateful for many things, including the fact that it's almost over. Although I did see one thing where it was like, is 2021 going to be better? And I think about like the Mayans 2012, and was someone dyslexic, and was it really 2021 that was going to be the year that everything, I think the Mayan prophecy was that the world would end in 2012, which didn't happen. But if it did happen in 2021, would we really be all that upset about it? Speaking of 2021, there was a tweet by author Kelly Garrett, and she said, anyone actually being an optimist and buying a 2021 planner? And it was funny because I think that was the exact day that I had ordered my planner. I'm still using the Agendio.com planners, and they did a weird thing though. So like at the beginning of November, they're like, we know that you're all getting ready to order your 2021 planners, and we have a bunch of new features that we'll be rolling out in the next couple of weeks. And I wrote them back and I'm like, if we wait for these features to be rolled out, will we get our planner by January 1st? And they were like, oh, probably not. I'm like, why would you roll out features at the end of the year? It's when you're ordering a planner for the year you want it to come. So I waited a week. I waited like a week and a half because I would really have liked some of these new features, but I hadn't had them this whole year and it was fine. So I was like, I'd rather have my planner on January 1st than wait and possibly not get it till February. That would throw off my whole planning. So I get 6 months at a time. So I will enjoy those new features in July, hopefully, because they still, as of today is November 29th, they still have not released the feature I was looking for. It's been slow batches. And I understand then they said that COVID had affected them and it's affected everybody. Like, I get it, but maybe don't announce it. Maybe just wait until next year sometime and announce these new features when they're ready and people can get them in the next planner. Just an idea. I still love my Agendio planner. I redesigned the week layout for next year and we'll see how that works. I'm really looking forward to that. The things that I'm excited about, like my new planner layout, but planner people understand. Everyone else, you'll just have to trust me. I almost forgot. I got a new gadget also this week. It's the Remarkable. So I heard author Jace Ellis talk about this in a panel discussion. Shout out to Jace. And she was saying that she'd gotten a Remarkable, which is basically an e-paper tablet. And it comes, well, you have to get a little stylus with it. And you use it like a notebook. So she had been talking about how useful it was for her in her writing process. And I literally ordered mine that day. If you have listened for a while, you'll know I love gadgets. And I just could not stop myself. Now, I did absolutely no research because I didn't even know that there were other e-paper tablets that I could have compared. But once I actually did the research, it turned out this was probably the one that I would have gotten anyway. So I'm going to be doing a video review of this, hopefully this week. The new puppy has like changed plans and finding a quiet time to record is even more difficult than ever before. But I will give you the preview of what will be in that video. Essentially, all right, first of all, back up. Many years ago, I supported a Kickstarter and I got a Rocket Book, which is a digital notebook. It's regular paper. It's a spiral bound notebook and it's got a QR code on the bottom of every page. So what you do is you write in your notebook and then you take a picture with your phone of the page and it digitizes it and it stores it on the cloud. You can hook it up to various services. And then also, this is the Rocketbook Wave that I have. And the cool feature was that it's erasable. So you use these special pens, these friction pens, which are erasable pens, which once I bought them, I use them for everything because they're great. And they're colors. You can get them in colors. And then with this notebook, you put it in the microwave with a mug of water and it erases the whole notebook. Now, it took me like probably 5 years to fill up the notebook because I use it for sketches. I use it for brainstorming, mind mapping. I use it when I design websites. I do like wireframes by hand on it. But it's not like an everyday use. So by the time I actually needed to erase it, many years had passed. And the erasing isn't great. Now, this is the very first version of it, so they might have improved the quality of the erasing mechanisms. But I see ghosts of all of the old content. And now I'm like using the book again, but I can see all the ghosts and it's a little irritating. So my hope was to use the Remarkable to replace that. I would have another digital notebook that I could sketch in, write in, and then just have copies of, you know, in the cloud. This does you one better. It has OCR, which I don't remember what it stands for, but it's that thing where you write and it turns your writing into text. And it's okay. I would say it's like 85% like accurate, which is about what dictation is for me. So if you're the type of person who writes by hand and then needs to either retype it or dictate it into the computer, this could save a step. The other thing I was hoping to do, so the good, let's start with the positives. I really like it. Writing on it feels like writing on paper. You can choose in the software the type of pen you're using, whether it's a pencil or a ballpoint. They have highlighter mode, they have marker, and that's really nice. It feels great writing on it. I can bring in PDFs, some of the worksheets that I use for my writing, and fill them out on there, which I've been doing, and I like that a lot. Just as a way to test it and use it, like, is it any different than filling it out on the paper? Maybe not. It's a tiny bit less convenient because it's a little smaller than a piece of paper, so you have to write smaller. It shrinks the text. But there's lots of great uses for it. So those are the positives. Great to write on. It's very fun. I can take it. It's thin. It's light. The battery life is good so far. The negative aspect is that I can't use it for everything I thought I would be able to use it for. So my hope was that I would be able to bring in a manuscript and read it on there and annotate and like mark it up with my pen. So the way I would print out a manuscript, you know, after my second draft, I usually go to paper or at some point in the process, I print out the whole manuscript and I make my corrections on paper. And I was like, oh, that'd be great to do on a tablet. The problem is these glasses that I'm wearing right now are trifocals. So in my advanced youth, I need my text to be bigger. I'm bringing my Kindle text up larger. My computer text is larger. I had to figure out how to make the Finder, directory text larger on the Mac. I can't see anything anymore. And when you bring things in, it only accepts PDF or EPUBs. So with a PDF, you can't increase the text size the way that you can do in like an ebook. So what I would have to do is go into Word, enlarge the text in my Word document, then create a PDF, bring it into here and mark it up, which is possible. But then you're losing the page numbers. And even that is because I do everything in Scrivener, so page numbers become less important. So I guess that is kind of a workaround. It's just an extra step. But just natively bringing a PDF into the tablet and marking it up, it just comes out too small because, like I said, you have this, the whole tablet is smaller than a piece of paper. And the actual screen is even smaller than that because there's side and bottom where you hold it. So your 8.5 by 11 PDF goes down to like 6 by 8.25. And those few inches make a big difference in terms of being able to read it. The other thing I was hoping to be able to do with this, because it takes EPUBs and it's e-paper, like my Kindle, I was thinking I could rely less on Amazon and buy more books from Kobo or someplace else, like buy EPUBs and read them. Like you can't do that on the Kindle. The Kindle is very proprietary. And I would love to not be giving Amazon so much of my money, but it does not support EPUBs well. It, for some reason, every EPUB I brought in, it erased the indenting of the paragraphs. And that is a huge pet peeve of mine. I can't read if I don't know where the paragraphs are. And I was on Reddit and other people were complaining about that. So I tried several different EPUBs and they were all like that. So it's a thing on the software and it's been a thing for a while. And so I don't know if they're going to fix it anytime soon, but that makes it kind of unusable for reading EPUBs for me. So yeah, it's not going to be able to serve every purpose that I wanted, but as a replacement for my digital notebook, it's great. As I've been doing my notes for this revision of the book, I've been doing them all in here instead of in my Moleskine notebook, which is what I usually do. And I like that. I can flip through the pages. I can kind of get an overview of all the pages and find things. The one thing I do miss is the ability to use color. So I can highlight and I can write and I can write in different thicknesses of the pen, but I use color sometimes in my paper notebooks to highlight things, or I'll brainstorm one character in one color and another character in another color, which I can't do. So, there's definitely pros and cons. Because I like gadgets, I do not regret getting it because I actually really love writing text on it and I'm having a great time and using it to fill in my worksheet. So I'm not looking at the computer all the time. Obviously I could just do it by hand on paper, but I'm saving some paper by doing it on here. And then if I need to print it out, I can print out the PDFs from here. So yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, but since I do actually enjoy writing on it a lot, I'll see if I can find some other uses of it that weren't what I was expecting. And my writing update. So, starting the revision of the heist novel. After a fast draft, I don't really need a long period of time away from the book. There's some periods, like after this next draft would be a great time to take a few weeks off, but I like going straight into it while it's fresh in my head. I'm not going to reread it. I'm basically just looking at the book that I wrote and trying to figure out why it's not the book that I wanted to write. And I don't know if you can hear that moaning and groaning, but that is Shelby in her crate downstairs. So I started out with something called the Novel Planning Workbook that I got from a book coach that I worked with once. And the first question is, why do you want to write this story? And I wrote by hand a full sheet of paper about why I wanted to write this story in the first place. What were the most important things about it? What was I trying to say? Why do I care about it? And it just brought up some things that I think I'd forgotten during the fast draft. Like I knew them at the beginning, but sometimes you get in the forest and you can't see the trees. Like, you know, you're deep in it and you don't see why you got in it in the first place. And so refreshing myself on that was super helpful. The next question is, what's the point of your story? So write 50 words about what is the point? What are you trying to say about the world, about people, about society? What are you trying to convey? And that kind of gets to theme. And so after that question, I was brainstorming just all the themes that I think I put in there that I wanted to put in there. And I realized I had too many. I had too many things I wanted to say because I'm dealing in real history in the 1920s and there's just so much there and it's Black history and in DC and there are layers and layers and I've got these five characters and they kind of all represent different things. And I realized I'm probably trying to do too much. And in trying to do too much, I'm not really doing anything at all. So that was really helpful. Then I wrote the log line. I actually had the log line from doing the proposal. I had started with that earlier in the process. So I had a log line but I did not have like the back cover copy. So I took a stab at writing the back cover copy, which I think really helps to coalesce the idea in your mind and have you just whittle it down to the most important parts. And I realized one of the things I really wanted to have happen, an important conflict between the main two characters, is really minimized in the draft that I had. I hadn't focused on it because in my outline, I hadn't focused on it. I was like, oh, this would be really cool. And this is a great conflict for them to have, but it's not really on the page. And that led me into doing more character work because I was like, well, it's not on the page because I don't know enough about the male lead. And so one day I just dug deep into his character. I didn't do a full character builder profile for him yet, which I might do, but I really had to get at his motivation. So I had based all the five characters on Enneagrams, this personality type. And all five main characters have different Enneagrams. And I paired up the hero and heroine, the two love interests, by Enneagram. So I knew what hers was, and I knew according to the websites, you know, the optimal partner for this type is this other type. And I was like, well, that'd be good. That fits kind of my basic ideas of him in some ways. And in some ways it didn't. And so I went back to the Enneagrams. I went back to the relationships between the two types. And then I got into the Enneagram wings, which I don't usually do. So there are 9 personality types, the Enneagrams. And then each of the 9 has a wing where it's closer to the one next to it on either side. So if my heroine is an 8, the type challenger, and she's pretty solid. My hero, I think it's a type, he's a type 9, the peacemaker. Now, so 9s could have an 8 wing where they're close to the challenger and a 1 wing where they're close to the performer, which is type 1. And so I looked more into what the wings would give me. And that actually helped because a pure type 9 wasn't quite on target for him. But if I give him a wing, I can't remember which wing I gave him, but it allowed me to get in some other things that I thought would be more appropriate for his character. And then I had to just go right back to the drawing board of his motivation. Like, why is he here in the first place? Why is he accepting this mission? Like, his inciting incident happens, and that's all off the page, you know, but he still is the hero of his own story. And he is, you know, a secondary character here because I'm really focusing, I think, on the heroine, but like, I need him to be strong and I need to understand why he's there so that I can make him react in an appropriate way. So I just dug down deeper into him. I did another worksheet that I have called the Relationship Toolbox, which is about why these two characters fall in love and why they're right for each other. And I don't think I had that clear in my mind. It was like, well, I want them to fall in love. I did their Enneagram so that they're going to be compatible in theory. And also there's points of conflict, but I hadn't gone any deeper. So that's kind of where I am now. Every day when I sit down, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to approach it, but I find something. And my process is generally kind of scattershot. Like, I'll go from character to theme to plot, back to character, back to this character. And then, you know, so it's a round robin approach because I have to hit everything kind of at the same time in order for it to make sense to me. I also need to finish these library books that I have and just dig more into the research because I think that will help me clarify some things. So that process is ongoing. But I think starting a revision by doing the log line and the back cover copy and then really digging into why you're telling the story in the first place and somehow keeping that at the forefront of your mind. Like, I'm probably going to have a sticky note on my monitor with just the core themes. Usually I put them on an index card in the front of my index card box that I keep, you know, this book's index cards in. But I think I'm going to need to keep it even more in the forefront of my mind. Another thing I've been doing with index cards is just writing down possible scenes or things that I want to put in the book on an index card as they come to me. So my stack of index cards is growing, and it's just something like, you know, character X squabbles with character Y, or finding and maintaining purpose in amidst a hostile world. It's literally the index card. I want to parallel certain things, tensions between two characters. I want to highlight the police harass my main character. I had an idea for another ghost because she's clairvoyant and she can see ghosts. There was a very obvious ghost that should be in this book and he wasn't there. And I'm like, of course she would see that ghost. Like, why didn't I put that in there before? So yeah, things are coming. It's just going to be a long process. And I'm sort of just planning it to take, 3 to 4 weeks to get to the point where I'm ready to write again. Because I want to replot everything really carefully so that when I go into the writing, I can just zoom through and not do another fast draft, but do the strategy that I think I have, once I perfected. Nothing is ever perfected, but that has been working on the other books where once I'm ready, I'll fast draft a scene one day. The next day I'll go back and I will polish it and perhaps fast draft the next scene. It depends on how much time I have in each day. But that gives me, a good clean draft at the end of it that should be ready for critique. The other thing I really want to do, and I've been wanting to do it for a while and I haven't figured out how to fit it into my planning and scheduling in a way that works, is to make more time for professional development. Like, I bought a couple of self-paced courses that I have not gone through yet. Joanna Penn had a sale and they were 50% off. So I got two of her courses that I really want to go through. I just haven't been making the time. I need to just like schedule an appointment with myself once a week to just sit down and do some of these lessons from these courses. It was the reason why I let my masterclass subscription go, because I had it for like 2 or 3 years and I didn't complete any classes. I did like the intro to the Neil Gaiman class and the intro to the James Patterson class and the intro to the David Mamet class and watched none of the rest of them. And then I was like, why am I paying for this? I let it go. Maybe one day I'll be able to come back to it. I wanted to do the Shonda Rhimes and they've added so many more on masterclass, but I just never did. So I'll let that go. I'm bad at classes. I have, you know, years of RWA workshops that I was like, I'm going to go back and look at the, and listen to those because they're audio. Haven't done it. Haven't gone back to this year's RWA to see all the ones I missed. Haven't gone back to Writer's Digest. There's all these like conferences and workshops. And I was like, I really want to go back and do them. And I'm just not making the time. And I want to be, you know, like, this is a great time to continue doing craft stuff while I'm kind of in a, not in a downtime because I'm still writing, but I'm not on a deadline. I'm not, you know, going crazy with anything. Perfect time for craft. I just have to sit down and do it and schedule myself. And I'm kind of looking for like a calendar or a system or something that'll make it easier when I think really it's just I have to do it. Like I have to put it on the calendar as an appointment with myself the way I do with my writing because I write every day. It's not a problem. But yeah, this professional development stuff, I need to treat like the writing. And it's just like it's so not even secondary. It's like tertiary. It's like the writing, then work has to come, family stuff. And I feel like I'm, the professional development is so low on my priority list that it's very easy not to do it. And maybe I just need an accountability partner. I think I'll bring that up in Mastermind today. Have them try to be my professional development accountability partners and check in on me because that helps with everything else. Helps with the writing. I'm still meeting my personal trainer every week to make sure I exercise. And that's all going well. So I just need other people. I'm just a mess by myself. I used to be so self-motivated and disciplined. And maybe I used it all up then. Like, I think you have a limited amount, like every day of willpower. There's been studies about that. And I might have used up all my willpower, like in grad school or like in previous years, because I find that it is just increasingly difficult for me to get these things done without help. So that is it for me for this week. I hope that you have a wonderful week and I'll talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter and get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcast.